Pastor Tommy Givner.
Addicting themselves. And you read this and you say, boom, and you read that and you say, but that don't make any sense. And so you have to come back and study, because I believe God is smart enough to lay it into the open, but not allow the wicked mind, the narrow mind, to be able to ascertain it. It has to come from anointing, has to come from prayer, meditation. You know, for instance, if you are an architect, if an architect gives you a blueprint, if you don't know anything about reading blueprints, you just sit up and look at it. Amen. I mean, you don't know what to connect the dots and what it is. He called in just because he's been trained in reading a blueprint. So same thing with the Word of God. It's almost like it's a blueprint to certain folks, because they read it. That's why it's not important to folk. That's why I tell you sometimes you got to listen, because more is caught than taught. And this is not like a regular school. You know, sometimes you got to stop and listen, because you'll be trying to do certain things and miss impartations. So you got to know how to be able to do both. But it's so powerful. And so what I want to get back into this morning, I believe it'll help everybody. Say, Lord, help me today. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto what? Now, it's the things that all of us need things. No doubt about it, because you, Emma, you had a Thanksgiving dinner. You didn't go to the store, roll the bucket through Walmart or wherever you will shop at, and then pass on by the counter. So wait a minute, ma'am, sir, you got to pay. Well, I love Jesus. He said, we do too. But you got to drop some off here. Praise the Lord. You still got to pay. So, but then when we keep pushing this scripture, God has a kingdom way and Satan has a world's way. The problem with the kingdom of God is that I've been doing it a world's way so long, until now I really got to keep on being taught and taught, because what I'm going to show you this morning is the bottom line to seeking the kingdom is fear. It's fear. And I said last week, I started talking about fear, overcoming fear. And I started saying that all of us have some kind of fear. And one of the problems is that we've been taught fear, especially in the black community. Boogeyman, haints, all kind of scary mess. And then so now when you get grown, it's still anchored in your soul. And so until you work on this thing day and night, you know, I said a few weeks ago, I said right now, whether it be 50, 60, 70, it don't matter. If you don't work on yourself, when two people walk in and they split a post, you start progressing and somebody get behind with you and they don't want to split. Come on now, anybody talk to me. Now, splitting no post is not in the Bible. But because we have been taught, and if our kids are not exposed to it, they say, Daddy, what you doing? Well, baby, you know, they don't even know. So let me go back over a couple of things to as they do in school to just refresh you. One of the things that we have is a fear of failure. All of us. And you say, well, you don't know the failure you have until you try to get up with it. You know, listen. Because a lot of time we fail because we fail to listen. We fail because we don't trust God. Fear of failure. You know, if God gives you an idea, the first thing will come to mind is failure. How is this going to work? Because if he tells you to do something bigger than you can dream. If you don't go to faith, you're going to go to fear. Or if you go to faith and things don't begin to work out, fear sets in. All right, all right. So it's the fear of failure. Then that's the fear of criticism. I won't be criticized. Get over it. Fear of rejection. I don't want to be rejected. Fear of authority. Fear of death. Fear of success. All of these things. Fear of change. Oh, that's a big one now. So, you know, okay, all right, all right, all right. I'm going to be putting that, I'm going to be teaching that in vision, in your personal vision. Because a lot of times we don't want to change. All right. I bet you there are closets and things at home you need to change, but you look at them every day and say, I don't feel like fooling with it. Fear of change. Fear of change. Fear of change. Fear of changing. Doing it the same old way, the same thing. You know, it's we had to work on it. I had to work, black folk, we had to work on this. Because sometimes we're to keep pulling you up. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. I don't know. And we got to get past that. Are you hearing me? We fear the past. Just gave you some confession this morning. Put all that stuff in the past. Everybody here that has had money taken from you, knowingly or unknowingly. It's not going to come just because it's wrong. You got to tell that money, come find me. A lot of us have fear of deadly diseases. Now, these are the same notes I said last week. So if you took them last week, you ain't got to take them today. Same thing I'm going over. Fear of deadly disease. And here one I love. Fear of old age. Y'all don't want to hear that. Fear of old age. He don't fear it right now. But when you start hitting 60 and 70, if you ain't careful, you're going to start fear. Then we got to go get Medicaid. Okay, all right, y'all. We want to get, because see, fear. Because you've been looking at others through the eyes of your mind. Disease and other things have taken folk out. And be honest. Just be honest for once in your life. You looked at some folk and said, that's what I got to look forward to? Amen. Come on down. Amen. But we're seeing the 70s is the new 50. Amen. Okay, all right, all right. Okay, y'all want to go forward. We want to back this thing up. Back up train. You know, so when we hit 70, we're looking at 50. It's all how you think. Now, if you want to dress like a 70, 80-year-old woman or man, go right on. But we can find a 50-year-old and look at, we can be spiffy, Brother Esther. You know, you can have a dip still in your, at 60, you can have a strut in your step. But if nobody tells you, and then it's who you, if you hang around a lot of folk that just shut life down, then what are they going to say about life that's important to you and you trying to speak life? That's why I tell you sometimes back up from folk. If they ain't talking what I need, I don't need just hang out with folk just to be hanging out to have some friends if they ain't talking about them. Because if talking to walk together if they don't agree. And if we ain't agreeing where we're going, we're going to have a problem. And I'm going to have a, you're going to have a problem with me because you're going to think I'm correcting you all the time. Or I think, you know, that he can go. And so, I'm getting hot already. So, well, are you seeing what I'm saying? Amen. I think about it. Most of us, we were 25 and 30, because some of y'all have been known over 26, 27 years. I met you back a long time ago. But you, to be honest, can I tell you something good? I got to say, can I tell you something good? You're looking better now than you did then. Y'all sitting like y'all don't want me to tell you nothing. Oh, if you don't believe me, I got pictures, baby. Right. I got pictures back there at home. I can just bring them one day and pass them back. You said, don't play that song no more. Brings back sweet memories. Okay, all right, y'all don't want to play with me this morning. So, you know, and I talked about, I'm just rehearsing because you got to keep going with it. And I talked about the phobias, all the phobias we have, and a lot of them got phobias. And fear this, fear heights, fear public places, fear thunder and lightning. I fear enclosed places. I fear water. I fear solitude. I fear darkness. I fear crowds. I fear disease. I fear death. I fear snakes and reptiles. All that can be in you that people have fears of. See, we talk so much about faith, but not enough about fear, because we can talk faith, but if fear ain't dealt with, then we got to deal with the ugly part of fear that's creeping through, and we wonder why our faith ain't working, because we ain't dealt with fear. I know what I'm talking about. Yes, put 2 Timothy 1:7 on the board. Hallelujah. I know what I'm talking about. Glory to God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Actually, what the scripture is saying, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. That's what he's really saying there. See, because power will come in a spirit. Love is a spirit. Sound mind is a spirit. You can't see neither one of them, but you see the results of them. See, there's some folk you can't not love in your natural flesh. Ain't no way on God's green earth you can love them. Okay, you ain't got to say nothing. You got to love folk by the Spirit of God. That's why Galatians talked about the 9 fruits and the 9 gifts. These are spirits. You know, some folk, I mean, come on now. I got to love them by the Spirit, because that overtakes my flesh. Because if I let my flesh in, every time I see them, they're going to get me upset. Every time I see them, I feel like cussing. Okay, all right, y'all ain't got to say nothing. Every time I see that Negro, he the one tore my car up. He the one still owe me money. Don't tell me you can't. No. You got to have the Spirit of God to help love the love folk. And so he gives me a spirit of power to overcome stuff. He gives me a spirit of love, and he gives me a spirit of a sound mind. Spirit of a what? Sound mind. So I have to understand all of these things. Now, fear is broken down into many different words, just like love is. You know, when we come up, all we heard, love. But we didn't know that was eros, starge, phileo, and agape. Each one means something different. So, if God didn't give me fear, where'd it come from? If God has not given me a spirit of it, where'd it come from? Now, notice he said a spirit of it. Now, fear and then respect. Two different things. I said last week, I don't fear electricity. I respect it. It can warm this church up. It can cool this church up, church off. It can warm your house, light your house. But now you cannot respect it. Put your finger in the socket, or decide they want to change a fitting out and cut no power off, and the two wires hit. All right, you don't want to, okay. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. Now, the fear God talks about is the fear of reverence. That's called mora. It's reverential fear. reverential fear of respect. Because if I'm afraid of you, I'm scared to communicate with you. Now, most of us grew up scared of God the wrong way. We wasn't scared of the devil. But scared of God. And because they made God out of such a mean man. God'll get you. God ain't getting you, it's what you did. You reap what you sowed. That's just a law in force. God ain't getting you. Get yourself. Well, God don't like ugly. I ain't seen that in the Bible yet. But that's something we made up. And then the worst thing about that, we make that, that's not a scripture, we make it up. How come we always tell somebody else God don't like ugly, and then when we get ugly, we forget the verse? If it was a verse, but it's not a verse. But we forget that. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. We always act like we're perfect and everybody else wrong. And God will get you. Man, look at yourself. All of us need help. And then there's the fear of being startled. That's called rashkad. Then there's a fear of panic and alarm. That's called phobia. And then there's a fear of terror. That's called phobos. But see, if you don't know the differential in these fears, you will take the phobo or the phobias, or you take the peshad, and then you bring it up to where the reverential fear is, mora is, and you have it in the wrong place. You ain't learned this in school, so let's sit here and listen. Because we've been running this, we've been doing that fear. So then let's go to the word. Show what I'm talking about. For God, fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Fear and knowledge view info from the right perspective, and we use it for its proper end. Let's put up 1 Corinthians 8:1. Hallelujah. You won't be taught today, right? I mean, I've been looking at this, I said, boy, this. Now, notice what it says. Now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. But now, here's what I am seeing in the society today. Now, notice what it says. Knowledge puffs up. Say, knowledge. Puffs up. Now, one of our biggest problems with the church, with people, is everybody knows so much. And we ain't getting nothing done. People know more about the word now than ever before. But if you don't know how to handle knowledge, knowledge will puff you up. All right. You say, well, let me show you. If you take all the churches in Forestdale and go to Pratt and et cetera, the men of God, we can't hardly come together for a common use. Because there's too much knowledge in the room and not enough submission. I got this from Quincy Jones. When they made We Are the World, he brought all those different artists together. He had a sign when they come through the door, leave your ego at the door. Amen. See, that's really our problem, is that if it ain't my idea or your idea, then... well, I don't want to work with you. Pastors can't work together because they got their revelation. I got my revelation, and nobody wants to submit one revelation thing. His revelation is better than somebody else's revelation, and we just all out of control because we got some knowledge. Then we go get a few degrees, add that to it. Now we got a bachelor's, we got a master's, we got a PhD. We put three balls on our robe. We bad Negroes now. So we got some knowledge. And yet, one of the things I really loved and admired by the old preachers, old pastors, they kept us humble. You rose up, they knew how to sit you down. You know, I won't call any names, but a lot of them helped made me. You know, and you come in young, you young pastor coming in, you know, they're having something, they won't let you do nothing. You just look at them. You know, and you said, well, I'm preaching every Sunday. They didn't care. Amen. And see, now everybody want the Bible. Everybody want to do this. Everybody want, but nobody want to listen. But those old preachers kept us humble. You didn't get paid to preach. Turn you loose and preach and then say, you know, but they was making us because they, but they knew if you got up on yourself, y'all know people got up on themselves. Amen. And we had to watch that. Give me Psalm 111:10. Hallelujah. Just working with it this morning. I'm going to get where I'm going shortly. But we're on our way. Hallelujah. So if fear was, if so you're either going to have fear of faith, and if fear was all bad, then the scripture, how would he interpret the scripture? The fear or the reverential fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Now he says the fear, reverential. But now if you just reading the Bible, and I'm talking bad about fear over here, well, how are you going to read, how are you going to understand this scripture if you say all fear is bad? So God has now given us a spirit of fear. Well, then how do you interpret that scripture when it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Does it make sense to anybody? So you have to go back and say, wait a minute. The reverential fear of God, the respect, the awness, the superiority, the vastness, all of those things. Because when you really look at God, it ought to bring a reverential feel. Wow. Man. You know, and so God did this. But you see, anyway, I'll get to that later, maybe. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, not the ending, of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom is the art and skill of making decisions that please God in life, particularly in the regards to relationship with others. It is righteous living, not just intelligence or judgment. Understanding is real insight into what really matters. Fear. Now notice, usually things that we fear we also hate. But in relationship to God, we both love and fear. All right, I'll wake up now. Like I said, this is a little deeper. That's why I'm trying to show you. I will show you in these series why your faith ain't working. Because so you want to know sometimes, how come my faith ain't working is because it's what I fear. Well, if fear is not exposed, and I don't know what it is, I'll read the Bible, but it don't really mean much to me because I'm not believing. I'm just reading it for casualness. I'm just reading because I was told. No, it's more. And that's why you got to have somebody to help read the architect, to read the blueprint. Isaac Newton says, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Oswald Chambers says, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. See, I'm trying to get somewhere. You know, I'll take a sidebar. But when we first started making confessions, there are things I knew I would say that folks may be scared. I didn't hold my head up this morning when I read them just because I didn't want to see if lips was not moving. Because some folks scared. When we say, And God made us in his likeness. When we said, when it was some people hearing that some religion was getting mad, they said, well, and you said, well, if I'm made in the image of God, then I'm a little God. See right there, you lost it, right? Lost half of you right there. No, how can I not be like God when I came from God? I didn't come from the flesh. I came from the spirit. And so when we don't understand, you can't be God, but you are God. And you a small G. Alex Elston. She can be nobody else but his child. Now what you gonna look like saying, that ain't my dad, I can't. Well, she got his last name. How you gonna argue? You can't say, if she changed her last name, she still would be his. Well, I can't leave his brother now because she couldn't have got him without brother. but you got to understand what I'm saying. And so we have no problem in the natural receiving, but when it comes to God, we say, that reverend, that's here. No, it's not. That's why they killed Jesus, because Jesus was talking where he came from, and he was like his father, and the religious folks said, hey, now wait a minute, what did he say? He said what? And that's what religion does. And when you don't know who you are, fear will cripple you. When you don't know who you are, you can never be who God wants you to be. I know I'm teaching you. And you have to get fear out the way, because when you step over in greater dimension of faith, fear will rise up and say, I don't know. I'm gonna give you one like this. I'm just like Jesus. I can do the same works because he doing them in me. He doing them through me. He said, greater works than these will we do. Well, how you gonna separate the fact? No, I represent Jesus. No, I'm not Jesus, and you're not Jesus. But Jesus is in me. I'd rather say I'm kin to Jesus than saying kin to the devil. Well, you want to say natural, stay with the devil. I done left him. And see, what you got to understand, if you understand, we are the body of Christ. Not the head, not the feet. We just the body. To where he can use our hands, our mouth, our eyes, whatever, and do what he tells us to do. How can you separate God from that? Am I making sense? When we represent God, things ought to happen. I told you a few weeks ago, my cousin, first cousin, I got a call. Actually, the Sunday before the fifth Sunday, this Saturday, sister called and said she had took to the bed, et cetera. So the fifth Sunday, I went there, and she was in the bed. The daughter said she had stopped bleeding since the following Thursday. Hospice come out. So she has been suffering with Alzheimer's. And so I walked in the room and walked to the bed. She grabbed my arm and held on to it about 15, 20 minutes, I guess. I didn't do nothing. I ain't prayed. I ain't said nothing. So, you know, they was actually calling the family in. So I still didn't pray before I left, but I ate dinner. Y'all know the story, I ain't got time to go there. So my wife mentioned to me Friday morning, she said, why don't you call one of your cousins and see how, call it one of their sons and see how your aunts, how your cousins are doing. So I had to run some errands Friday morning, and I called one of my cousins in Kentucky, one of her sons. And I said, hey, man, how you know? You know, he wasn't clapping to hear me. You know, and when he first called me by my first name, he said, no, Reverend. I said, boy, I've earned respect in my family now. Yes. You know, yeah. He called me Reverend. And so we grew up and we played and fought and all that together. But he said, Reverend, so we got to talk. And I said, well, how your mama? He said, you know, I talked to my sister day for yesterday. He said, you know, it's short of a miracle, sister. She said she got up. She ate something yesterday. They be in the front room and she get out of bed. They know a thing. She walking in there. He said, I don't know what happened. I was down there in July. She was going down. I kept hearing about she was in the bed. And she said, now they're saying she up. I didn't say nothing. So last night I was meditating in my office of listening to some music. And my mind got on her. And the Lord, I feel it in my spirit, it says, she sold into your life over 40-something years ago a powerful seed. I told her, she touched the hem. Y'all missed it. You missed that. If you ain't careful, if you so religious, you will miss that. I represent Jesus on earth. I'm not Jesus. I represent him. But there ought to be some of him in me. There ought to be him, some of him in you. And I saw a thing. I said, I ain't even pray. I just stood there. And she grabbed a hold of my arm and held on to my arm. That was the fifth Sunday in last month. It's the fourth Sunday in this month. And she ain't gone nowhere. To God be the glory. But religious folks say, that ain't true. Well, I don't live by religion. I live by the word of God. Because that's what killed Jesus, religion. Religion makes you feel. She just held on to my arm. Just held on. She was pulling on something, Reverend. I don't know. She was pulling. She up. She had stopped eating. Body fasting to die. Anyway, okay. But when you walk in the anointing, you can't be fearful. Because fear signals. You got nurses and stuff, doctors in here. You know, and I done been in some sick rooms. Some sick folk. But I could not ever fear. Because fear is a spirit, y'all didn't hear me. Fear is a spirit that will permeate from you to them. That's why the wrong folk don't need to go see sick folk. If you don't have no faith, you need to stay out of there. Because it ain't what you know, it's who you know. It don't matter what the doctor said. What did King Jesus say? All y'all heard it was some man say what they can't get well. Well, they Jesus, I guess. No. You got to know how this faith works. Fear is a robber. I done seen God raise folks up from the dead. Hallelujah. And you can't walk in those sick person rooms scared. Amen. Well, you can. You don't get nothing. Well, you do. I take it back. You do get something. They get something. They don't get up. All right. Okay, y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
God is a healer. Amen. Stuff hits your body. You can't go no fear. I woke up several mornings ago, a few weeks ago, and my left eye just bloodshot red. Just red. It got redder. I looked in the mirror and said, now you got to dry up. I ain't got time to fool with you. It's just about gone. I went to some of you doctors. Y'all probably had scared me, y'all know. You start giving the medical terminology. I don't need to hear that. I need faith. Then the next day, Reverend, I woke up. My left leg, looked down, and my left feet was swollen. I said, dog, Look, you got to go. In the name of Jesus. Then next morning, woke up, the left arm swole. I said, you a lie. You getting up out of here. Now, okay, y'all want to sit up. Well, you know, no. And I had to trace it back. I probably had more sodium intake in me received than I should have had. And I said, okay, that was sodium. And I backed up, you know. But now I ain't finna come call. See, if some of y'all say, child, is it your heart? Is this? No, no. Then y'all get to you kill a man. No, and it's gone. It's feet back normal. Hands normal, everything. But if I had to stand right there and speak to it, it ain't got nothing to do because I'm 62 either. But you see, if you don't know how to stand on this word and take a, I'm trying to get a the sidebar, simple thing. Anybody ever got cut? Did it heal itself? Did the cut heal? How come the cut heal? Well, then if the cut heal, how can come other stuff in your body get healed? If your body, if you cut yourself and a couple of days later it heals, that means God, that's God in you with a healing mechanism to heal anything in your body. All right. I move on. See, because what happens, you got to have somebody make you think. You can't run to the drugstore for everything. And you get yourself, see, some of y'all say, well, I don't know. It takes faith to do that. And you got to have patience when you do that. It works. And so when you see that, you just build yourself up more and more. But fear set in. You get on the phone or the internet, Google it. And since we are in the world and not the kingdom, you go to the world and get their stuff, which has umpteen side effects, which everybody in here, in your daily prayer, you ought to be cursing every side effect or any medication you ever take, have taken. Because what you don't know, it lays dormant in your system. Hepatitis can be in your body 20-something years and then come out. Well, where was it? You didn't see it. So I'm just trying to prove my point. Well, I don't know about it. I don't feel nothing. There's a lot of things you don't feel. Okay, all right. I'm just trying to train y'all. Is that y'all let me train you? Fear can keep you from being active as a Christian. No, I ain't no churchgoer. I'm a Christian. I pay a price for it. Because everybody don't like you being a Christian. I was in Selma, that's the other fifth Sunday, and one of my first cousins was saying to me, she said, my other cousin, they didn't sell them, she said, you know, he really saved. He way out there. That's when I... That's how she thought about me. Said, he really saved. I had some more albums. I threw them away. He wouldn't even give me the album. I said, whatever, they wasn't no good for me. I don't need to give you. And just like somebody said, you got saved and clean your liquor cabinet out. And you said, well, I don't want to throw this away. I want to give it to somebody. It wasn't no good for you. I know why an old Chadwick walking down the street, but he don't need nothing else either. But you said, Rep, it's good looking though. I paid good money for that 100 pipers. That's good looking, Rev. See how the mind rise up? You can't pull that look out. You want to give it to somebody to kill them. You saved, but you killed, now the Christians are killing the sinner. You quit smoking weed, you got a bag, I got a half a quarter pound left. Well, this good bowl, man. Don't want. Now find somebody else to give it to. No, flush it down the commode.
Yes, sir.
I'm just trying to change the way we think. You know I ain't lying. Rev, you throw all that good, man, if I'd have known you was throwing it away, you don't need it, I don't need it, let it go. You know, so we have to think. I'm just calling y'all to think this morning. We'll be through shortly. Fear has the ability to paralyze the child of God and keep them from advancing into victory and living a life of fruitfulness. See, fear stop. Fear rob you. You know, fear rob you of sowing. The only reason folk don't sow is they're fearful. It ain't that they don't have no money. Because the scary part of what is going to happen. You went out, some of y'all probably went Black Friday, Black whatever, shopping. You done spent some money. Real quiet. No. You done spent some money. And you looked in there and I said, I had in my mind that to go out Thursday night. I said, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't took my pajamas off. I ain't going nowhere. You know, I ain't finna go out there and fight with folk just to get a mark down. And that was a certain item I was looking for. I went by Walmart Friday. They said, sir, it's all gone. I just went to Amazon. I said, well, I know what to do. I go to Amazon.com. It'll be tomorrow. Forget it. You know, I ain't got to be standing in no line. See, but I don't fear my package ain't coming. Oh, I'm headed somewhere now. I don't fear my package else is not coming. Well, I got a receipt. Well, what about your healer? How come you fearing healing coming? How come you fearing wealth not coming? You got a receipt. I got a title deed. But why do I fear God blessing me but don't fear the world? I can sow and, well, I can spend any amount of money I want and don't fear. I can give God $20 and get scared. The only reason folks don't tithe is because they fearful. You can't have but one or the other, fear of faith. Amen. If you got faith, you sow. If you don't have faith, you won't sow. Because the sowing looks like it's going away. The only difference is, in your hand, when you spend, you get an item. That's all you got. When you sow, you got a future. Amen. Oh, I'm okay. All right. The enemy to fear is faith. I said it's faith. Let's go back to when fear began. Go to Genesis 3:10. Y'all hearing this? I know you already knew it, but I'm just teaching you what you already knew to kind of help bring you up. But and he said, so he said, Adam, I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid. That's the first time Adam ever got afraid. He spoke to the copperhead snakes, alligators, crocodiles, hippopotamus, giraffes, mountain lions, tigers, wolves, coyotes, hyenas.
Yes, sir.
All them other bad things in the woods. And they bowed to Adam. You can't be fearful creating all, speaking all that into existence. Whatever God brought to Adam, Adam named it. Named it. But when he stepped out, that's it, Lord, that's it. As long as we're in faith, we can go where we're going. But Satan always wants us to step out of faith in the fear. Because fear is going to take me on a different destination.
Amen.
Fear is not going to take me where faith is going. Y'all better hear me. I was naked. Because I was naked. And I hid myself. Next verse, verse 11. Well, how in the world he know he was naked? He'd been walking around buck naked all while he was on earth. Come on, that's the way it was. He had no clothes on. Buck naked. Y'all know what that means. Stark naked. Not a stitch nowhere. And it didn't even bother them. See, whatever the devil wants, he's got to teach it through somebody. You take two babies, 5, 3, 2 years old, one black, one white. If they don't know anything about color, they'll play with each other. All they know is, you just look different to me, and I look different to you, but we all human. It's not until some adult gets in their ear and say, you white, greater, you black, lesser. And that's why we have to push our kids and let them know they can be anything that God has put them to be. Because fear robbers. I said fear robbers. You know, we've all been robbed. We've been robbed. And I was talking to my cousin, we were saying Friday, and one thing he said stood out. He said, my two kids, I'm pushing them. He said, because, man, we come out of cotton fields, so on and so on. He said, but we didn't have nobody push us. He said, correct you and told you to go to school. You go to school, you can be a good job. But we didn't have anybody pushing us. Let me rephrase that. I didn't have anybody pushing me. You know, maybe y'all did, but I didn't have anybody pushing me to tell me that I had greatness in me, to tell me that success was in me, to tell me that I could go further. Now, come on now. Y'all don't get quiet on me now. You know, and everything we learn through observation. Maybe one or two of you had somebody in the old school push you, but I know I didn't. And so it was a lot of learning through mistakes and mishap and perhaps. So now we come a little smarter, and that's why I try to push my kids and try to tell them, because I've been through a place I don't want you to be. I've been in a spot I don't want you to be in. I was in there because I had no choice. You got a choice not to ever go there. Okay, I'll get a witness in a minute. And he said, who told you? Who told you you couldn't make it? Who told you you wasn't rich? Who told you you wasn't healed? Y'all better come on talk to me. Who told me you couldn't do it? See, that same voice. Now, God asked the man, said, who told you? God knew it was Satan that did that, but who told you? Satan still can speak through the portals of our minds, telling us we can't make it. Who told you this morning you couldn't make it? Who told you that you couldn't get healed? Oh, I know I'm teaching you now. Who told me I can't start a business? Who told me I can't start a business at 70? See, you don't want to see, you shut down. You don't understand that the world system. I read a book, the guy said, you most likely won't get rich through a job. He said, but if you got a business, God can put so much wealth in that business because there ain't no cap in a business. I know I'm teaching you this morning. And so when you get to a point and you're talking about, well, I'm 70, I'm 65, what that mean? What that mean? Why you got to sit down? You just learning some sense now. You just coming to yourself. You just, and then it ain't all for you. It's blessing to be a blessing. They told Oprah Winfrey she was a television personality. Looked like somebody lied, didn't it? told Michael Jordan he got cut from the basketball team. He couldn't play no basketball. Looked like they lied, didn't they? So you, I'll be through in a few minutes. See, you gotta, see, we gotta think and you gotta have, see, I'm here to push you, to correct you, not to hurt you. But you can't help folk unless you cut them a little bit. I don't care how many times you get stuck with a needle. You're going to feel something. Hallelujah. Ooh, let me move on. I got to go. Why were you afraid? Have you eaten? Now, it's dangerous when God asks you a question. Like he asked you, where you been last night? You know. Okay, y'all won't be, okay. It ain't like God out there looking in and saying, I wonder what he was doing last night. I saw you. You had your dog glass on in the back of the booth, but I was there with you. David says, where can I go to escape God? If I go to heaven up there, he's there. I make my bed in hell, he's there. Where can I go? Everywhere I go, I carry Jesus. I don't leave church and leave Jesus at church. Wherever I go, Jesus is with me. That's why the old folks say, I want Jesus to walk with me, talk with me along this tedious journey. Okay, all right. I'll be through in a minute, I'll be through. Okay, all right. Let me find these closing notes. I know I need them. Hallelujah. Are y'all hearing me? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Fear, distrust, and envy equate to control. That's why the Willie Lynch Law was written to put fear, apprehension, distrust, envy, jealousy among us. That I taught a few months ago about that spirit of Willie Lynch. It's a spirit. He been dead, but that spirit is still alive. Pit one against the other. Same thing. One somebody get blessed, other people get mad. Well, check out what they did. Before you get mad that they blessed, ask them what they did. Don't get mad because you ain't done nothing. And now you want to call me a big N. Well, I'd rather be called a big N and a little N. You got to be a big or a little. Okay, all right. If I said little Elson or little Doc, they said, what are you talking about? Big Elson, big Doc, big Chris. Yeah. You know, come on, it's just in us. You know, nobody that won't little. So it's okay to want better. But see, when you understand why I'm teaching this, because fear challenges the school of traditional thoughts. Fear challenges. See that traditionalism been in us in church for years. Can't do this. Well, Pastor, he changed the way he did that. Why he did that? I ain't making nothing of law. That's why we get messed up with the law. You know, I come in some mornings and I might say, Doc, get up there and pray. Elson, get up there and pray. So-and-so, get up there and pray. Open the church, open up for this morning. Well, then, I thought he was using somebody else. That's a law. See, when you get a law in you, you'll think if you didn't do it, you won't get blessed. When a law is in you, if you didn't do it a certain way, and God changed you to another way, you'll think you won't get it. For instance, if you pray in an hour a day, and the day you don't pray but 10 minutes, The law would say you ain't did nothing, but you might not have had but 10 minutes this morning. But because you prayed an hour, that's great. But it might be a day you can't get but 5 minutes in. That don't mean you live by the law of that I didn't pray, oh, then time something up. I knew something was going to happen because I didn't pray 1 hour. That's a law. No, what you did, you sit there and you had fear in you and you did not know it and you attracted something that you did not understand and now you blame it on the law and it had nothing with the law. It was what you did or did not, what you did. Are you hearing me? A law, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy, but come to fulfill it. But most times we get a law, and then we take the law and say, well, okay, we don't have Sunday school. But if we was in the law, that ain't no church. And Sunday school did not come from the Bible. It came because of a need. In Gloucester, England, when little boys and girls was on the street and the man decided to start having some in his kitchen and teaching the word to them, and it grew so big till they called it, Sunday school. And then the church incorporated Sunday school, but it shouldn't be a law. Do you feel any different today when you was in Sunday school than you're not in Sunday school today? Yeah, be honest with me now. Well, I would assist y'all quiet on me. Have you did you learn more in Sunday school than you learning now? I'm not against Sunday school, but we need to get something else to teach. But if we're in the law, well, church open at 10, what kind of? Yes. But the law can cripple us. So we in grace. Do what God tells me to do. The gospel of Jesus Christ will bring liberation. But if we're not, if we're fearful, we won't get liberated. Money talks loud and it muffles the voice of poverty. If our message does not address the deliverance of the whole man, spirit, soul, and body, then we are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. My spirit, my soul, and my body must be liberated. I know that's deep for some of y'all. My spirit, my soul, and my body. My spirit is intact, my soul is being renewed, and my body is healed. Oh, Lord. That's what the gospel is supposed to do. Y'all think I'm even making this up when I tell you we even have no sickness up in here? If you get sick and go to the doctor, you're going to get well. All right. That won't mean until you get sick. And then here's one even worse. In the law, person in the hospital, pastor didn't even come by. He didn't come by, child. No, he didn't even come by. I pay my tithes there. Your tithes been gone. Your tithes been spent. You ain't got to. Your tithes been spent. When they go in today, they spent tomorrow. You can't hold on 25 years talking about my tithe. All right, pay your house note in this first of the month and hold on to it and say, well, I ain't going to pay it for the next 3 months. And thank you, got to still stay in your house. That sounds crazy, don't it? Well, then how can you think you can just give one and my tithe will last for 25 years? No, they don't. You make more money and bring more tithes in. But the reverend didn't come by to see me. That's a low-down preacher. He ain't even come back. Man of God could be on his knees whispering to God about you. And you get up. Still fussing. He ain't been by. He ain't been by. You tell your friend, because he ain't a Negro, he ain't come by. I pay my tithes there. And you ain't got, they don't have sense enough to know that the man of God done whispered a prayer to God. Because all them folk who came by and prayed, you may not have nothing in them but fear. Lord, if it's with your will, get them up. Get out of my room. See, but you ain't scared. See a fear there. Well, you know, some folks, you know, you ain't been in the hospital. Some folks, you have tearful. You know, if you can't pray the prayer of faith, don't even pray it. Amen. I remember tradition church, little girl, Deacon Cade. Y'all, some of y'all remember Deacon Cade. Deacon Cade was in the hospital. I went by to see him, and I knew what was happening. The daughter said, She said, what kind of prayer are you going to pray? I said, prayer of faith. Okay. That didn't insult me. Because I saw what she was doing. She was protecting her daddy. Yes. You do have the right to say what kind of prayer you're praying. Oh, hell, don't be bringing any kind of prayer to me. Tell me, well, you know, Lord, we bow down once again before the Mother Day. And in the old, no, you better put some word in this prayer. If ain't number law, get him up. Amen. In Jesus' name. See, but you see, and so I prayed the prayer of faith, you know. And then, well, but you know, if I was in deep in tradition and wasn't trying to change, I could have got insulted. Well, I'm the pastor. You can't tell me what to pray. Yes, you can. If you got to pray doubt. Amen. Okay. All right. No 100 prayers don't heal you. Everybody come back, drop me one off. Drop me one off. They dropping something off, all right. Amen. See, folk, people, I have people next door. I remember one young lady, she had a car wreck, and I had walked out of the church for something. She said, Reverend, yes, ma'am. She said, I need you to pray for me. I said, okay. She said, I've had this wreck. I'm taking this medication. The medicine ain't healing me. I'm still hurting, but I'm scared of taking more medication because my body might can't handle it. I call the fence. I just wrap and pray for her. Till I got up when I'm about to be Lord heal her. You know, here's the thing about some people when they ain't there where we are yet. They don't have no problem grabbing a hand with everybody in the public. Christian on, we get scared. Oh, wait, let's go in the bathroom. We don't want nobody to see. It's scary. Scary. Somebody at the mall, you see him, said, look, I've been going through a problem. Can y'all pray for me? Yeah, I pray for you and get home. Or when you tell me you pray for me, get home because you're scared to pray for me in public. You can grab the hands right there. And Father, in the name of Jesus, who you care about looking at you? Well, let's go in the bathroom, girl. Man's go, no, right here. But we get scared. Fear, y'all know I'm telling the truth. Fear rob you. It is impossible for an anointed person to be silent. It's impossible for an anointed man or woman to be silent. I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to time 5 minutes. When we understand what is happening with our black males and females, the church can't keep silent anymore. You got to keep on telling them and telling them and telling them. All lives matter. But we have to become concerned. The church got to get concerned about the young people. That means individuals. They don't, you know, we didn't always want to hear the truth. But it'll keep on saying it. Yes, sir. To be silent is to be in agreement with it. That was why I said it Wednesday night. If you hang out with somebody and walked away because they don't want food, they hate this church, and you want to have dinner with them, what they got to tell you? How can two people walk together? Somewhere along the line, the church got to raise up and say, no! If you like not, they got to see something and hear something. Well, I didn't want to be, no, you friends and you love them, but they got to see that there's a separation. You ain't darkness, you light. What are you going to tell me and talk to me about at lunch when you done walked away from my anointing? What you got to say? No, you want to hear some gossip, that's what you want to hear. You ought to be able to say, no. One woman, this was just for church years ago, and for whatever reason she left, and she told my wife, she said, can we still be friends? No. What are we going to be friends about? What are we going to hang out with? I know y'all don't like that. What you going to hang out with? See, you got to understand something. We're soldiers, and we have to make a statement. And you're scared when you don't want to do it. Well, I don't want to hurt. Hey, you're already hurting feelings. You're siding with the enemy. If Jesus said, if you're not with me, then it's against me. We love him, but I can't afford to hang with you if you're in disagreement, because you're going to say something that if I straighten you out, it's going to be a problem. If I be silent, it's going to affect me. All right, go on. Okay. All right. Now you come to the right church. Yeah, you came. Mm-hmm. God, but you know. And so what about you? What they offer to pay for the meal? You got to know how to grow up and be a strong believer. It takes something to do that. Yes, it do. Mm-hmm. See how quiet I'm in there. Be real quiet because I know I just bust some bubbles. I plan on them. Just trying to help you. Then they done talked about me and you heard them. And you smile in my face. Smile in the face of do tell lies. Smile or just a frown. Y'all know the truth. Y'all act like y'all scared of singing in the church. Probably still got an album somewhere tucked up on the house somewhere. But it's a true song. Amen. That's where I have respect for. I'm so respectful of my camps. If I go to World Changes with Pastor Dollar, I don't wear this ring. I respect his camp. I know how to. I only the left hand know what the right one doing. It's respect. It's respect. How am I have his Bible, Pastor Dollar Bible, and take it to Pastor Thompson? Even though we all, that's I'm connected to, but it's respect. Amen. See, we don't understand respect. Yes, sir. Respect yourself. Yes, sir. You got that somewhere. Yes, sir. See, but it's all about, if you talking against me to one of my children, and they go off on you, don't come to me. They're supposed to go off because they're talking about their daddy. And well, I don't know why that girl went off on me. Well, you were saying something you shouldn't have said about me. And you ain't going to say that. You ain't going to have nobody talking about your mama. Dead or alive. Y'all know about playing the doves? Y'all like we don't know about playing the doves. Oh, nobody that I. Nobody, you can talk about that all day long. Ain't nobody finna get mad. You say a mama joke. What? What did you say about my mama? Y'all come on, Charlie. Let's be for real. It's Hal Melvin said, just be for real. I'm closing in a minute. All right, I'm gonna time 3 minutes. Until we acknowledge that corruption exists and that we're in a system that is ungodly, we can't bring change. Neither can we become part of the answer, but we will continue to be part of the problem. Walking in the image of God, listen to this, walking in the image of God will expose the enemy. When you start being who you really is, some folk gonna drop off from you. Cause you just got the image of God. They're holding it. They can't hang with you. Now if everybody hanging on you, running, you ain't got nothing on you. Well, you got something on you, but it ain't. It ain't got nothing. You got something on you, but it ain't the power of God. Cause everybody gonna want to hang with you. Cause the power of God is gonna express itself. I was watching something yesterday on Unsung, Billy D. Williams. Y'all heard of him, haven't you? The man said something that really stuck. He said, and you know, that, you know, he was a sex symbol. And he said, man, people walk, women walk up to him and start crying, fainting around him. And he said, some men almost start crying. I said, now, whoa, what is protruding from him like that? And then being to him, I can't have the anointing of God coming out of my life like that, where somebody come out praying, they got to bow their head, where they start want to repent. Well, y'all, no. If Satan can give somebody that much power, surely God can give me power where the devil exposed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm closing.
Yes, sir.
Y'all hearing me? That's why the Jews had a hard time receiving Jesus, because he didn't come in the package that they were looking for. If you haven't been convicted in church, then the truth is not in the message. It'll stir you up. Hallelujah. Don't let fear ride you any longer. Understand the reverential fear of God, but that demonic fear will keep you from getting spirit filled, from walking into your God-given authority, from sowing, believing, doing the things that God put in you, because fear will rob you. Fear keeps you from witnessing, because you don't want to be rejected. Don't want to be talked about. Fear is a dirty dog.
Amen. Amen.
That'll cripple you if you let it. Fear will kill you. Stand on your feet.
Yes,
thank you,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This ought to help somebody.
Yes, sir.
See,
thank you.
See, we don't got into the faith side. That's great. But if I don't know what fear is, let me use me. My wife was asking me some questions the other night. I was just telling her a lot about my past and how I grew up. I had a lot of distrust, a lot of ungodliness, a lot of fear. But fear, you can use fear to protect yourself, but it calls you not to trust nobody. Because you're trying to protect yourself, but yet, because you've been hurt. But sometimes God, you got to open the door up to let God bring the right person in your life. The one hurt you, gone or dead. But everybody behind you, you know, it's just like you said, well, I had a preacher and he was wrong. Well, don't bring that to me. That's why I told the story of the week. And I thank God for my wife, because sometimes I honestly don't care. Don't like to hear what she got to say, because sometimes it hits hard. Okay, y'all all right? You all right? You know, you all right? I just tell it. You know. I said, now, why is she telling me I need to go call him? And you know, and women, I don't know, but when I do it, see, I told you, should have told you. I did it anyway. What you told me? Don't stab me. Women like that, brother. They're. We don't get, as one man said, women with 3,000, men speak 3,000 words a day, women speak 10,000. And about when we get home, about 29, we only got about 4 left. What's for dinner? we done spent hours up. As one preacher said, men are like waffles, women like spaghetti. Because in the waffle, he got little boxes in it. And men got a little box over here, box over here. We got compartmentalized. Women, they just go and they just come out with it. If my box ain't full, don't go there. If I'm in my box, leave me alone. I'm just telling the truth. And so, you know, and she was saying to me, she said, we went to Selma, and I said this a few weeks ago, because every time I tell testimony, free meal.
Amen.
See, you hear it, but it free me.
Yes,
I'm just letting you in free. But so when we went to see my cousin, it was still Sunday. I was not going to, it was kitchen was smelling good. But my encounter 47 years ago was still in my soul. And my cousin said, y'all won't eat? I said, no. My wife said, we got to eat. I said, okay, we're going to eat. Same table that it happened at. I'm sitting in the same table, same chair, 47 years ago. But I freed me up. And I honestly believe I freed her up. Because my fear and apprehensions and all stuck upness could have blocked something that she needed, that she knew nothing about. Amen. Y'all didn't hear me.
Yes,
see, your mess, what you holding on to crap in your families, you need to let it go because it can hold up somebody else.
Amen.
That was the fifth Sunday last month. She's still here.
Amen.
But I sit there and ate the food. She grabbed the hold. Now, God reminded me last night that was a 40-something-year-old seed.
Yes.
So you see, y'all, so you know everything. You think that a seed can't wait that long. The seed can be there any amount of years it need to be until a need arise that it needs what the breakthrough to come through. Don't you ever underestimate a seed. That's why the seeds mud did them and sold for us. Them things still alive. Doors still opening up for us. They didn't even get a chance to see nothing. But they sold 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and some of us walking in it. You better hear me up in here. Trying to close. But that seed, I'm sitting there meditating last night. And I heard God say, 40-something years. And I didn't even have to pray. She just took what she needed. You don't know nothing about this God yet we serve. You got to learn him. You get caught up in your little 2-cent thoughts and you don't understand. He's a vast God. He can do stuff you don't even understand he can do. You got to understand it. And it takes some time, God taking those some of us who ain't scared to walk out and trust his word. What we look like. I'm a preacher and I'm still holding stuff. But God freed me up that day. How many of y'all holding on to crap? 50 years old, 40 years old. You didn't get the comforter. You didn't get a watch. You didn't get that. What gives you the right to hold another man or woman down? We need eyes opening. How you gonna look at me and tell me you my brother and sister and you can't stand me? You're fake. I'm required to live better. I'm required to handle ignorance better. I know I'm talking about something. I ain't meant to go out here, but this is what I'm trying to get you to see. I've lived from this experience. And when her son said, I don't know what happened. I listened to her and called him. Thank God for a good woman. Because I wasn't going to call him. But I know I ain't heard nothing. But she told me to call him. And then when he got on the phone talking with me, we talked an hour and a half. Well, he talked an hour and a half. I listened. Because he needed an ear for the stuff that he was saying about his family. I didn't know all that mess was going on, but he needed a ear.